see some of you leaving that's not part of Children's Church. I don't know what.
They fall out.
No, that's a good group. Thank you for bringing your kids and being a part of this. That's our future church. If the Lord tarries, they'll be the ones that are taking charge. And we want to train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We want them to know the Word of God. And they'll know when a false prophet stands before them and says the wrong thing. They'll know that's not what the Bible teaches. And they need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And they need to put on the whole armor of God that they might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And he is a trickster. He'll do everything that he can to destroy you and your family and your marriage. He's your enemy. He's out against you. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter. The book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter. I think all of the Word of God is important. But I don't know of a message I have ever preached that I thought was more important than this message. I think it is so vital that we grab hold of this. I think it has to do with our future. It has to do with our lives. What will happen to us? What will happen to our children? It all has to do with that. I think it is vital that we hear what God says to us today. Let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy Word. And you have the privilege of being able to hold the Word of God in your hand. Most of you have several copies of the book in your home or in your office. A lot of you have it in your car. There's places in the world that they would just give anything for a page out of it.
Amen.
We saw a little scene a while back. We showed it on the screen of people in China getting Bibles and how they would hold them and hug them and kiss them and weep because they had a copy of the Word of God. I think we kind of take that for granted here in America. We have so many copies. So Ephesians 6 and beginning with verse 10. There's great proof here that Paul was a Baptist preacher, because he starts out by saying, "Now finally, brethren," and then he preaches a long time. I'm kidding. But he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." He's concluding the thought. "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And that word, the wiles, means cunning devices. It means trickery, laying a trap. It's really an important word. Now listen very closely and listen to what he says. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." People are not your problem and not my problem. We fight not. Our battle is not that of flesh. Our battle is not that of flesh. We are not fighting against flesh. In other words, anything that's flesh is not our battle. "We fight not, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against," and he gives this long list, "principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." That is our battle.
Amen.
That's our battle. And that's what we are contending against. Wherefore? Because of that. Because that's not, because flesh and blood is not our battle, but we're fighting in a spiritual realm, spiritual warfare. Wherefore? Because of that. Take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand, that you may be able to withstand. There's quite a bit of difference. Withstand, that means that you keep on standing. You don't just stand, you keep on standing. That you withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Father, thank you and praise you for the day you've given us and your word. And Lord, if this comes from me, it'll be a zero. I pray that you would anoint my thoughts, anoint the words that come from my mouth. I pray you'd anoint me for this time that we have together, that I'd speak your truth with correctness. I pray for this congregation that you'd give them ears to hear, that you'd open our spiritual eyes this morning to see the truth of your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. What is it called when you do the same thing over and over with the same results, and it's not the results you're looking for?
Insanity.
Insanity. It's crazy. It's crazy to do the same thing over and over. You do the same thing. I do the same thing over and over. The same way, expecting a different kind of results, but I get the same results every time. It's called insanity. It's crazy. So we're going to look at that insanity today. And it's not the way that God would have us to do it. You do not fight the devil with flesh and blood. You cannot use the carnal. You cannot use your mouth and your hands and your actions against the devil that will win any kind of battle. Now, when you and I are struggling with a situation, and I've discovered at this point in my life that I am more concerned about my children and my grandchildren's spirituality, their relationship with God, than I am my own. Now, I'm not trying to brag here, but I'm telling you that is a burden on my heart. Amen. How my kids act and how my grandkids act. Now, here's the kicker. Are we concerned about the way they live their lives because they are an embarrassment to us? are because we really want them to have a relationship with God that's going to make a difference in their lives for eternity. And so I have to choose between that. You know, you want to be able to brag on your kids. And I mean, you stay around people and just listen to them brag about their kids and their grandkids. I got myself in real bad trouble a few years ago. Some of my grandkids were in the nursery. And some other people's grandkids were in the nursery. And I walked in and I stood there for a little while. And I said, is it just me? Or is my grandkids just a lot smarter than the rest of the kids in this room? And boy, did I ever get flogged. Of course, I was doing it to get flogged. But so we do the same thing over and over and it gets the same kind of results. We chew on them. We give them our opinion. We tell them, you shouldn't be doing that. This is what's going to happen to you. You know you're breaking your mama's heart. You know you're bringing dishonor to the family. Now, I'm not saying that there's never a place for that. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that there's never a place for that. I've sat down with my own grandkids and said to them, you know, I disagree with what you're doing. Amen. And they said, I know, but they kept doing it. I'm not saying that there's not a place for that. I think that perhaps there is some place for that. But I'm telling you, that is not winning the battle. Amen. That is not winning the battle. Chewing on them is not winning. Saying what we think comes out of our mouth is not winning the battle. Can I get an amen, or is it just us? Is it just me and my family, or does that spread to other families? It is not doing the job. So if we just keep doing the same thing over and over that we've been doing, we've been flogging them about what they're not doing or what they should be doing, and bringing that up over and over, and they won't call us on the phone because they know what they're, and they stop coming to see us because they know what they're going to hear. So we're doing the same thing over and over, and we're getting the same results. And what did we say that was? Yeah, crazy. So we're fighting a spiritual battle. We're in a spiritual battle. Our battle is not with flesh and blood. Our battle is not with them. It is with the devil.
Yes, amen.
He's gained a stronghold.
Yes.
It is with the devil. It is not with them. And the same way with the person that you work with on the job. Wherever your battle is. Whatever that battle is. It's not flesh and blood. It is spiritual. Now look at the list that the Bible gives us here in this passage of Scripture in verse 12. It's not flesh and blood. It's principalities. It's powers. It's rulers of darkness. It's spiritual wickedness in high places. Of authority. You cannot. Are you hearing me today? I'm preaching to myself, you know. But I'm preaching to you too. You cannot overcome the devil in your own strength and your own power.
Amen.
Can't do it. You cannot do it. You and I cannot overcome the devil by our own strength or our own power. So it takes an empowerment from another source. So how do we get that? How do we come to that place where we have the power to overcome the ground that the devil has taken? How do we take that ground back that the devil has taken? Well, we just try. Does that do it? No. It's just that we'll just be more earnest. No. No, it just won't do it.
Amen.
It just won't do it. Well, give more money to the church. Yeah, that would probably help. No, it won't do it. It just won't do it. Because we're fighting a spiritual battle. Look with me in the book of Acts. Acts, Romans. Acts, the 19th chapter. Look at verse 13. Oh, I didn't think that looked right. They keep moving these books around in this Bible. Acts 19 and verse 13. I'll find it after a while. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists. My Bible interprets that witch doctors. Took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. Now look at this. And there were seven sons of one Siva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Do you understand what we are fighting against? Who the battle is against? Look at James, the 4th chapter. Hebrews, James. James 4, and look at verse 7. So how do we do it? Here's where we head to. Here's where we're heading. This is one of the steps. In fact, I love steps. This is one of the steps. This is one of the things that we can do. And I'm telling you, dear friend, and as I tell myself, if you do not do anything else in your life, in your battle with the devil, you can do this. You and I can do this. So what does he say here in James 4 and verse 7? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Now, submit yourself to God. Okay, what is it in your life and in mine that God is dealing with you about that you are resisting? What is it that you're not doing that God's calling you to do? I would say that some of you have already had it come to your mind. God doesn't like this in my life, and I just keep it. I'm holding on to it. I've got this area that he can have. I come to church on Sunday morning. I come to Sunday school on Sunday morning. This is the area that he can have. But I've got this little closet over here that has a door on it that only I have the combination to. And I've got some stuff in that closet that belongs to me that I'm not going to allow God to have control of. Right. I'm resisting God in that. I know what he would have me to do, but I'm not doing it because I'm holding something against someone else. I'm not doing it because I'm mad at Mike. I'm not doing what God would have me to do because I'm mad at my wife for burning them biscuits. Can you think of anything? That's cutting your nose off to spite your face. I'm doing it because of what someone in the church did. I'm holding this back because of what someone in the church did to me. I've been offended by someone in the church, and so I'm not going to do what God is calling me to do. Are you hearing me today? Have you ever been offended at Walmart, but you just keep going back? But people won't do it in church. No, I've been offended. Somebody said that preacher didn't shake my hand. And besides that, I don't like a lot of things about him. Well, I tell you, just get in line, I don't like a bunch of stuff about him either. So I do what God, that's my first step, I do what God is calling me to do.
You know what it is. I know what it is. But here we go. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It's easier said than done. How do I resist the devil? Well, I don't give in. I don't give in. My grandchildren that are living their lives outside the will of the Lord know that I have not given in. I'm still not for it. I'm still not for it. And they still know it. I don't bring it up. But they know that I'm standing in resistance. And friend, what I've discovered this week, that I'm not to stand in resistance against them, but I'm to stand in resistance against the devil. I still love on them and hug on them and kiss on them, but I'm standing in resistance to the devil. I don't want the devil to know that I'm not going to throw in the towel. He may beat me up, but I'm not going to throw in the towel. I'm going to stand in resistance. So what is it that you and I are to stand in resistance of? Do not give up. Don't give up. Winston Churchill said, never, never, never give up. Don't give up. Well, it's been 3 years. Don't give up. It's been 20 years. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Stand against the devil. So we surrender to God and resist the devil. Don't give in. Don't give in. Everybody else may give in. Don't give in. Everybody else may accept it. Don't accept it. Don't take your enemy lightly. In the book of Jude, here's a real unusual verse. Over toward the end of the Bible, Jude chapter 4, verse 9. Jude the ninth verse, excuse me, just has one chapter. Jude the ninth verse. Yet Michael the archangel, you think he might be kind of tough? You think that when you read about Michael and Michael's job and you read through the Old Testament and hear that name? Yet Michael the archangel, when contending, this word means arguing, contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. He does not bring against him a railing accusation. He wasn't daring him, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." Amen. Did you get that? Where did Michael get his power when he was resisting the devil? Well, he got it from the Lord. Where do you think that you and I are to get our power when we're resisting to the devil? We get it from the Lord. I mean, our enemy, we do not. I hear people talk about, man, we made the devil run then. This guy is something to deal with. These principalities and power and spiritual wickedness in high places are something to deal with. And my friend, you and I cannot deal with it with our own power. We have to have a power from another source. We are to remember that the battle belongs to God. Now we're going to do a little Bible drilling. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15. And he said, "Hearken, ye all Judah, and all ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude." We talked about how powerful the devil is. Now we could just go run and hide, get in our safe place. I don't think there is one. "Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." You realize how many times the Bible says that the battle is not yours, it's God. When David was fighting Goliath, he said, "It is not his battle, it's God's battle I'm fighting."
That's right.
And over in Scripture, Zechariah 4:6, "The battle is not mine, but the Lord's." 2 Chronicles 32:7-8, "The battle is not mine, it's the Lord's." Lay all this out before God. "Lord, this is what they've said. It's not..." Now, what are you going to do? And asking God, "God, what are you going to do?" Turn over to 2 Kings, the 6th chapter. This is one of my favorite passages. 2 Kings 6, starting with verse 15. "And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, 'Alas, my master, how shall we do?'" Or, "What shall we do? What are we going to do?" And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them."
Amen.
Are you getting it? "And Elisha prayed and said, 'Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see.' And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha." The battle is not ours, it's God's battle. Doesn't that change everything? Does that not change everything? That it is God's battle? It changes everything. And so, I want us to get to the nitty-gritty before we leave here. So we're going to talk about hooking up to the power. How do we hook up to that power to get that in our life? You get that power on your knees.
Amen.
And that's where it really, really comes from. It comes from praying. I want you to look at Matthew's Gospel, the 17th chapter, a real unusual passage. Look at Matthew 17, look down at verse 14. "And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him.' And Jesus answered and said," I want you to listen, "O faithless and perverse generation, How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him here, or bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? Because they'd been doing that. They'd been casting out devils. And they were talking, they come back bragging. And even the devils are subject to us. And Jesus told them they weren't bragging about the right thing. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. Is he speaking only to the disciples, or is he speaking to us? I say both. Nothing shall be impossible. Now, I better keep going. Howbeit, now watch closely. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Okay. Let's get to it. He uses two terms here. When the devil has built a stronghold in an individual's life, and they are absolutely resisting the will of God in their life, how do you gain the power to overcome that stronghold? Well, we've already said that, first of all, we're going to submit ourselves to God. The next thing we're going to do is resist the devil. And then Jesus has told us a third thing that is to take place. Actually, he's told us several things. He's talked about our faith, believing, because you don't believe. You don't think it's going to happen. And I'm struggling with this. Does this mean that because I don't believe that God's able to do it, I believe God's able to do anything? Or do I believe that God's not going to do it? Or do I believe that he's not going to do it for me? So let's look at what he said. Two things he says here, prayer and fasting. This can only be overcome by prayer and fasting. Look at Matthew 6. Just turn back a few pages. And Jesus talks about our prayer life in Matthew 6 and verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetition, as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. You and I, when we pray, he said, these things come over, this kind of stronghold that the devil has on this individual can only be overcome by prayer and fasting. Now, he strung them out about their faith and unbelief, but he said, howbeit, this kind takes prayer and fasting. So when we pray,
it is a serious business. It is a serious business. Now, he used one other term here that we hardly ever hear. Matthew 6, verse 16. He said, prayer and fasting. Verse 16. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto the Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. How long has it been since you were in a battle with the devil that you felt like, this is such a serious deal, I'm going to pray and I'm going to fast? Well, I can't fast, my health won't allow me to fast. This is what Jesus said about fasting. He said that we said this about praying too. You're public praying. If you're doing it to impress men, you're a big blow. It's nothing. And he said about your fasting that you and I, if we fast, if we get serious enough about a matter in our family or our life, when we fast, we are to tell no one that we are fasting. No one is to know that we're fasting. I hear people say, oh, well, I'm fasting. Well, you just blew it. You ask them, you won't have lunch? I'm fasting today. I mean, you could have said, I'm going to take rain check on that. I've got someplace else to be. But the minute that it comes out of your mouth for you to brag about what you're doing, you've lost, Jesus said, you lost your reward. You're not to say anything about it. You're not to appear to men to be fasting. So you're fighting this battle with the devil, this stronghold that he has on some member of your family, or in the church, or in your business, and you're praying and you're fasting about it, but it's business between you and God, and you're doing it, and no one else knows about it. But it is serious, serious business. Now, I think that there's lots of different ways to fast. I don't think that you have to go on a 40-day fast. I don't think that you have to go on a week fast or even a day fast. I think there wouldn't be anything wrong with it, but whatever God calls you to, it might be one meal. It might be two meals. It might be one day. It might be something else. But it is restricting yourself of something that you would normally like to do. In chapter 17 and verse 20 said, because of your unbelief. I'm not going to be able to finish the rest of those passages. Jesus couldn't do many mighty works in Capernaum because that was his base. They knew him real well there. They knew him too well. And he said, because of their unbelief, he couldn't do many mighty works. What is it in an individual's life where God can really work in their life? When they've surrendered themselves to him, they just believe that God can do anything. Never give up. And pray. And pray seriously. Pray privately. Fast privately. Seek the Lord for that that's in your life. He has a great plan for you, for your family. We're going to have a baptism service this morning. I'm going to dismiss our